This is Impeachment, a daily podcast from WNYC. I'm Brian Lehrer. It's Monday, November 4th. We can tell from the phone calls we've been getting from listeners that many of you following the impeachment drama are already jumping ahead in your minds to what seems like the inevitable. The House will vote to impeach President Trump, and he will stand trial in the Senate. So today, let's go there. Our guest is Ohio Senator Sherrod Brown, who many people considered likely to join the Democratic presidential race because of his combination of progressive values and white working class credibility. He has made it clear he is not running. But Senator Sherrod Brown knows he is likely to become Juror Sherrod Brown, with a say in whether the President of the United States is found guilty of high crimes and removed from power. Senator Brown also has a new book called Desk 88. Eight Progressive Senators Who Changed America. It's about senators who had his actual desk before he did, including Robert F. Kennedy, George McGovern, Hugo Black, and others. Senator, we appreciate your time today.
Good. Thanks. For coming. It's an honor to be on this show, Brian, and thanks for the work you've done for decades.
Thank you.
And thank you for going to Ohio State to get your journalism degree.
That's crossing boundaries. That's that's one way to cross borders and learn about people other than yourself. Beginning on some news, and then we'll see how your book relates. I saw you quoted in the Columbus Dispatch the other day saying President Trump deserves to be impeached. What he did is worse than Watergate, but you're reserving judgment about removal from office. Can you give me both halves of that
sure,
for you?
Sure, sure. I am not a lawyer. I understand that in situations like impeachment, the impeachment is comparable to an indictment. And then once charges are brought, there is a trial in the Senate at the time of which the president and his lawyers can defend himself. So I think it's clear what the president did, that it was a quid pro quo. That's not even the issue. The bigger issue is that he asked a foreign power to intervene in an American election and parenthetically in support of himself. That's something, as I pointed out in that article, that Richard Nixon never even did. So I think the House makes the right decision in voting to impeach, if that's what they do, which most of us expect. I reserve judgment in the Senate because I sit as one of 100 jurors. It's my duty, whether I'm a lawyer or not, it's my duty as one of 100 U.S. senators to make that decision based on the evidence after listening to both sides present that evidence.
I understand that in a Senate trial, you don't get to ask questions like at a Senate hearing. You're really like a juror in a criminal trial, observing and taking it in. Is that correct? What's your understanding of what your role would be?
My understanding is exactly that. And it's almost to think of 100 politicians, 100 U.S. senators sitting quietly at their seat hour after hour, day after day, may bring on another constitutional crisis. I'm not sure that that's something that all of us will be able to do. But my understanding is the 100 of us sit in our seats and listen and decide. I was asked at a high school the other day in Beechwood, Ohio, what if the evidence changes? Then he said, if the public pressure is on to push you one way or the other. And I said, public pressure should have nothing to do with this Senate trial. I understand public pressure. I certainly understand it on Medicare or Social Security or going to war. But when we are one of 100, when we are sit as a jury, I hope that both parties really do listen to the evidence, not have preconceived notions, and judge based on the evidence, not the phone calls we get, not the social media presence, not the letters we get, not the conversations even we have on the street, but judge this as a jury or a judge should in a courtroom. Where is the preponderance of evidence, for removal or against removal?
Well, some of our listeners who are following this day to day may be thinking, what is it that you don't already know? It's so obvious based on all the witnesses who have testified so far in those depositions that there was a quid pro quo, or that he at very least did solicit foreign interference in a U.S. political campaign, which itself would be illegal, plus the quid pro quo seems established and corroborated. What are you waiting for?
Well, I understand people think that, and But I also understand that we go through a process. And even though this president doesn't believe in the institutions and the rule of law, the way that I was brought up to, the way I was brought up, and I think the way you were brought up, Brian, from listening to your show over the years, that it's pretty clear that the right thing to do is reserve judgment until the actual trial. That's my duty. That's what I pledged to do when I was sworn in again on January 3rd of this year. And that's where I think we all should be.
The Washington Post has an article that says a growing number of Republican senators are considering acknowledging Trump's quid pro quo on Ukraine, military aid in a White House meeting in exchange for investigating the Bidens in 2016. We know what they are by now. But then arguing it isn't illegal or simply it isn't bad enough to warrant impeachment. Are you hearing that from your Republican colleagues?
They're trying very, very hard to defend this president. Well, I said to a friend of mine the other day, one of the most disappointing things of my 13 years in the Senate is watching Republicans make excuses for, embolden, defend, or simply run away from criticizing this president. And history, one of the things about my book has taught me about reading history and writing about history is history will judge these Republican House and Senate members poorly in for their lack of a spine. And I mean, I understand why they love the tax cuts. They love the deregulation, the weakening rules on the environment. They love that. They love the right-wing young judges. And they're also scared of the political base. But what are we there for ultimately if not to fight for our country and enforce the rule of law and all that?
So reportedly, according to that Washington Post article, some Republican senators are headed toward bad but not bad enough for impeachment. The president, meanwhile, is digging in on the argument that there was no quid pro quo, that the phone call with Zelensky was perfect, as he keeps using that word.
Actually, today he said perfecto.
Perfecto.
I don't want to correct you, Brian, but it's gone from perfect to perfecto.
That's bilingual in Trump's world. And that he might do what he calls a fireside chat to read the transcript under the belief, or so he claims, that people will hear the transcript when he reads it on television as innocent rather than incriminating. Let me play a clip of Trump advisor Kellyanne Conway on CNN's State of the Union yesterday.
No quid pro quo in this call in terms of the president.
In terms of what actually happened beyond the call.
That there were eight of them. Where are they?
Beyond the call, just
in
general, as a matter of policy and as a matter of events.
Where was the quid pro quo?
I'm asking you, was there one?
President Trump never said to the Ukrainian president, do this and you'll get your aid. It's simply not here.
So it didn't happen.
Nobody ever thought we'd release the transcript. Ladies and gentlemen, you can all see it. Go read it.
Kellyanne Conway with CNN's Dana Bash. How do you think, Senator, people would judge that call if the president were to act out the transcript on TV? Kellyanne Conway there was digging in on the notion that if you read the transcript, you're going to think the president didn't do anything wrong.
Well, Kellyanne Conway lies less than the president only because she talks less than the president. First of all, that's not the transcript. We haven't seen the full transcript.
And we should say
yet.
Transcript notes, rough transcript.
Yeah, so that's,
but as released by the president, it looks pretty bad to a lot of people.
Yeah, it looks pretty bad, but it was clearly worse, according to Colonel Venman and others who, of course he would clean it up a little bit to release it. So in his words, so I don't think that has any impact on this. I think Kellyanne Conway is flailing away as she does, but this is pretty clearly, this is what the president did. Quid pro quo or not, he asked for foreign help. And that's not something, again, Richard Nixon even did. So there is so much here and there likely will be more. And then it gets to the Senate and we make that judgment.
And you know, one of the arguments that Trump defenders are making is that he may have asked for help, but it wasn't illegal because the law is that a candidate cannot take a thing of value from a foreigner, but an investigation is not like a cash donation. An investigation into the Bidens or 2016 is not a thing of value under the law. Do you have an opinion? Are you a lawyer?
I'm not a lawyer. I can't imagine that argument sells. I mean, the desperation already from the Republican House members at physical from their attacks on the committee. I mean, they're physically going into the room, the takeover, whatever you call it. From that to Trump lying again and again to Kellyanne Conway's defenses to these House Republicans, one after another, shamelessly pushing back in all kinds of ways. None of this is having any impact. As you can see in the American public, every week, every new development, a few more people say, not just impeachment inquiry, they're saying impeach and remove. And that number is only going to grow.
Some Democrats are making their case based in part on national security grounds. But can you make a national security argument here that extorting a political investigation from Ukraine, if extortion it wasn't just unfair to Ukraine and against our election laws, but that somehow U.S. national security was at stake?
Oh, I think when the almost $300 million-plus dollars that were going to Ukraine to protect themselves and defend against further Russian incursion is a national security issue for us. We want a free and independent Ukraine. I have a lot of Ukrainian Americans in Greater Cleveland in my state, and I see that, and I see, and I was a Russian studies major in college, and I know a lot about the history of Ukraine and Russia and the Soviet Union and all. This is a very important, and it's not just Ukraine. It's if our other allies around the world know that this president, they see it every day, is closer to the autocrats than he is the small d Democrats. That has an impact on trust and on our future relationships with country after country after country.
Meaning impeachment for you might be more than just a narrow definition of a crime that he might have committed with respect to Ukraine, but a sort of, I've been calling this the moral equivalence of treason, as I think a lot of people see it, because he's elevating white supremacy in this country, giving aid and comfort to them, giving aid and comfort to autocrats around the world in opposition to democracy itself?
Yeah, I think probably. Again, I've not been through this process. I've never sat as a juror on an impeachment trial, of course. I don't know. But I want all of those factors known to the 100 senators as we consider this, whether those are reasons for removal. And I know to your listeners, many, I would assume for most of them, all of those are reasons for removal. I can't make that judgment until I sit there.
One of the things to compare the Nixon impeachment era to the Trump potential impeachment era is that incredible statistic that you just cited. Nixon won in such a landslide over McGovern in 72 that he won 49 states. And yet, within 2 years after that, most of the public was for his removal from office. But a lot of the political analysts today say these days are so different, people are so much more polarized, that there couldn't be that kind of movement. What do you think?
I think there could. I think by my research over a decade, writing Desk 88, and you know as a writer yourself, Brian, that over time, you're writing, you see things. What you see and what you do as a writer ends up, you just learn from your previous life and your previous experience, and you see things differently. And I would never predict that we will remove President Trump from office, but I think that you wouldn't have thought early in the Nixon process that all these senators would turn on him, including Southern Democratic senators who came to it a little later, and Southern House Democrats did, that this could happen, because that even though the country's more polarized, even though Trump started with 45% of the public despising him, almost from the day he was elected. We know those divisions in the country. We also know his supporters probably are more dug in than supporters of Nixon were.
Raul in East Elmhurst, Queens. You're on WNYC with Senator Sherrod Brown. Hi, Raul.
Good morning, Senator. Thank you so much for your great work.
Sure, thank you.
Great show. I love to listen to it. So,
thank you.
My concern, Senator, is the following. As the American people, we want to vote and we want fairness. So Democrats do not want to impeach a president, let's say. Republicans don't want to impeach a president. So how are we to know that the Constitution is going to be followed? In this instance, Republicans along party lines, no. Even though, hey, do me a favor, even though he asked for a favor, obviously broken the law, put the country in a bad position. So how are we as citizens know that the Constitution is going to be followed by Republicans who will say, I'm going to not fear this person, and I'm going to do what my heart says and follow the Constitution.
Well, I hope. Thank you, Rollo, for those comments. I was disappointed that no Republican joined the Democrats, all but two Democrats, in voting for the impeachment, to launch the impeachment inquiry. I heard some Republican defense was that some of those Republicans still plan to vote for impeachment. They didn't want to sort of alert the right wing at this point to start attacking them. That doesn't sound like courage to me, but I don't know. I just don't know what that real story is. I'm hopeful. I mean, the constitutional process is working so far. Pelosi's moving. I assume the articles of impeachment will be voted on in late November or December, but Pelosi is committed no timetable, nor should she at this point. I trust her in that. But I think it's worked the way the Constitution says. It shouldn't be a political decision in the Senate. In the House, perhaps. In the Senate, it should be a trial in a court of law. It should be the equivalent of that. And I will be very disappointed if my Republican colleagues and Democratic colleagues that think that vote the politics rather than the subs. Again, I don't know what will happen. I don't even know for sure how I would vote. I know what my feelings are about Trump's illegalities and I think Trump's the worst president in my lifetime. Maybe the worst. I didn't know. I wasn't around for James Buchanan. Maybe the worst in history. But I don't think this is the worst time for our country and our history, and I want to make that distinction. My writing Desk 88, I saw repeatedly that there were much worse times for our country. The 60s may have been worse for our country. Certainly the Depression. McCarthy was worse. The Depression, the Civil War. I mean, I was speaking to 100 ministers, generally progressive ministers, in Cleveland this week. And one of the things we talked about was during McCarthy era, we probably couldn't have had that meeting. They were talking about immigration and Trump's terrible racist and mean-spirited immigration policies. So this is not the worst time, even in my lifetime. It's the worst president, but not the worst time. And so I would encourage people not to be discouraged because of that.
Oliver in Long Island City, you're on WNYC with Senator Sherrod Brown. Hi, Oliver.
Hi, Senator Brown. So my question is specifically if senators are given jury instructions that would give discretion to them to consider any outside information regarding President Trump, or only the Ukraine matters that are what specifically brought for the impeachment inquiry? Thank you.
Well, I don't know the answer to that, but I don't know that I'm not on the Judiciary Committee. I don't know that I'm the wrong guy to ask, because I don't think any of us knows yet for sure what the instructions will be. We don't know if the impeachment articles will include only Ukraine or Speaker Pelosi moves beyond that with more information coming. I would trust Speaker Pelosi. I think she is one of the things in my book. I talked about her briefly, but that she was the greatest legislative leader since Johnson, and maybe even better, even greater leader than Johnson. She will go down as a giant among speakers, among legislative leaders, and I trust her judgment on this. I think she's done everything just about right on all this. Some progressives like me would think she should have been more aggressive. I think she's lined things up in the right way. I trust her to do it right. We'll see what the instructions are for senators on that day in December or January, if it happens, whenever the House has moved.
You know, we're going to be interviewing later an official of MoveOn.org. And MoveOn, as I'm sure you know, was founded during the Clinton impeachment process to say censure and move on back to the people's business of healthcare and the economy and everything else. Could you see a scenario under which the right thing, especially in an election year where the people will be the ultimate jurors, could be to say, let's censure the president for something that just about everybody will acknowledge was bad, but not remove him from office?
Well, I can see Republicans saying, after giving up on every other defense and trying to justify him in every way, in the contorted way they are, I could see maybe they come onto that strategy. But this is more, I just finished reading a book about the four attempts to remove a president. I guess that's the way to say it. Johnson, Nixon, Clinton. It was written last year, so it didn't really get into
it
nothing
was more
Ukraine, all that.
Mueller investigation.
Yeah. And this president's done things that none of them did. And this president pretty clearly has earned this indictment. And I think you don't just censor, just slap his wrist with something so serious. You go through the process. And again, I'm not sure how I'm going to vote come the impeachment trial in the Senate, if it comes to that, as I think it will. But I think you've got to go through the process. They can censor for sure if they want. But I think that Pelosi has her focus on let's play this out, see what else we find, vote on articles of impeachment, and likely send it to the Senate.
Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio, his new book is called Desk 88, 8 Progressive Senators Who Changed America. Senator, thank you so much for coming
to our
studio.
Thank you very much, Brian. Enjoyed it. Thank you.
With me now is Corinne Jean-Pierre, Chief Public Affairs Officer for MoveOn.org. Maybe you've seen her on TV as an MSNBC political analyst. She also teaches campaign management at the Columbia University School of International and Public Affairs. And Corinne Jean-Pierre has a new book called Moving Forward, A Story of Hope, Hard Work, and the Promise of America. Corinne, it's a pleasure to have you here.
Oh,
welcome to WNYC.
Brian, I have to tell you, I think I was telling you earlier, I'm such a fan. I think you are one of the smartest people out there. I love hearing your voice. I love hearing your commentary. You do a great show. And so thank you for what you do. And so just wanted to make sure I said that.
Oh my God, I'm blushing having seen you on television a lot, but we've never met or spoken. To hear that you're a listener, I'm really glad. Move On was founded, as you know, during the Clinton impeachment to mean, hey, Congress, censure President Clinton and move on back to the people's business of health care and the economy, et cetera. Now the shoe is on the other foot. How about censure President Trump and move on to the people's business, plus to letting the people decide his ultimate fate in the 2020 election?
I think there is going to be, the American people will go in about a year, less than a year, they will go to the ballot box and they will, you know, tell Trump how they feel about them, right, in the voting box. And that's going to be incredibly key. And we still need to be doing that. That doesn't go away. But I do believe that Congress has a constitutional duty. And their constitutional duty is to make sure that this president is held accountable. Because we have to remember, this president is behaving like a guilty person, right? He is not behaving like someone, he doesn't think that he did anything wrong, right? He's attacking the process. He's attacking the Constitution. And when you look at this in its totality, it is a crime. It is a crime. And the founders put something in place, impeachment, to really deal with a president like this. They knew that a president wasn't going to come around like a Donald Trump. And this is the remedy.
So let's end with this. We got a call from a listener to our impeachment podcast. Let me play this for you and get your reaction.
Hi, my name's Glenn, and I'm calling from Greenfield, Massachusetts. It's 4:30 in the morning, and I can't sleep, so I'm listening to impeachment podcasts, which is not helping. I'm obsessed with the impeachment, and I know all the ins and outs, I know all the details, but I'm wondering if I'm wasting my time, if I'm just kind of following a soap opera. I live in a state, and part of the state is very liberal. My representative, McGovern, just chaired the committee that set the rules for impeachment. My senator, Senator Warren, was the first candidate to go with impeachment. So I'm just wondering whether it is actually a good use of time for someone like me to be spending so much time paying attention to all the ins and outs of the impeachment proceedings. And if it is a waste of time, what should I be doing instead?
All right, Corinne, what would you say to our caller from Greenfield, Mass?
I have to say to the caller from Massachusetts, it's encouraging to hear, because the reason why is we're seeing polling. The last three pollings on impeachment have been historic. The way it's moving, people are paying attention and they're listening. And we saw movement, not just impeachment inquiry, but impeachment and removal. And that says volumes. That says the public opinion is in, they're listening. And we haven't even had public hearings yet. And so I think it's good to stay informed. Please do not spend all your time listening to an impeachment or focusing on impeachment. There's so many other things to live life for. I would also say focus on 2020. That's going to be key. Get involved. Register people to vote. Get your community involved. Go out there clearly and vote yourself. But that, I tell you, that caller really lays out a little bit of what you see with this polling, the polling on impeachment.
Karine Jean-Pierre's new book is called Moving Forward, A Story of Hope, Hard Work, and the Promise of America. Thank you so much for coming
in
today.
Thank you, Brian. I love you, Brian. Thank you.
Again, listeners, you can call and ask an impeachment news question. Just leave a voicemail anytime, including your name and where you're calling from, and some of you will hear your questions on the show. The number is 844-745-TALK. That's 844-745-TALK or 844-745-8255. Impeachment, a daily podcast, is excerpted from my live daily radio show, which we also invite you to listen to. It's The Brian Lehrer Show, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, streaming live then at WNYC.org.